I want to be the one wearing the garment. That was awesome. Amen. Today I want to minister to you a word that I've titled, Moving Forward. Moving Forward. I never paid any attention to tractor, trailer, trucks, 18-wheelers until I married a truck driver. Now I see every one of them on the road, and there's a lot of them. Amen. But he said something one time that has always stuck with me. And he said, if you get the front end of the truck right, the trailer will follow. And I thought, oh, man, that'll preach. So I just kind of let it rest there. And if you get the front end of the truck right, the trailer, right, honey, will follow. Say yes. Amen. And I thought, you know, that's good. That is good. And, you know, you cannot back a truck up by turning over your shoulder looking out the rearview mirror. You just can't. But that's the way it is with our past. If we're constantly trying to cause the past to line up with where we're going, it's not going to. It's going to take the supernatural power of God. Amen. And you believing that the past is what it is, the past. So if you get the front end of your life lined up with the Word, whatever's happened back there is going to take care of itself, church. Amen. You received that this morning? Get the front end right. Looking forward. The past is going to take care of the past. And Dr. Phil, and I watch Dr. Phil every once in a while. I've learned a lot from Dr. Phil. And he's always said this, and this has stuck with me too. There always comes a time in our life when all things can be made right. There comes a time in your life, church, that all things can be made right. And at that time, you need to seize the opportunity. Because there's people on there that he gives them, he's offered them help, but they choose not to take it. But there's some of them says, this is my opportunity to make all things right. And no matter what your past has been, some of us have had more colorful past than other people. But all of us have a past because we've all come from somewhere. But there, I believe that God, and I can testify to it, there's people that I've had squabbles with or things have not been quite right in a relationship, and I can look back and I see how God has caused that intervention to take place somewhere down the road as I quit trying to look back and make the past line up with the future, that God will cause those people to cross your path that you can make all things right. And when that happens, seize the opportunity because it may not come back. Oh, it may not come back again. Hallelujah. So that's just a little nugget I want to throw out there to you for you to grab a hold of this morning. But if you get the front right, your past will follow. Amen. So we all have had a past. We've all come from somewhere. Like I said, some of us have had a very colorful past. But we've all have a past. Amen. So you cannot walk forward by continually looking in the rearview mirror. Have you ever tried to walk a straight line looking back? You can't do it. So you need to get rid of the eyes behind your head and realize you've got one set and they've been anointed to look forward. Amen. So among many things I've learned over the years, that our relationship with God is progressive. He's an ever-moving God and he's always nudging us into new territories. But because we're human, we don't like change. Change just really bothers all of us sometimes. We like to know when it's going to happen, why it's going to happen, where it's going to happen, who's going to be there before we get there. Amen? Glory to God. But by his grace, he moves us forward, nudging us forward into territory because he wants us to grow. And it's all about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And out of that relationship with him, we can have a relationship with ourselves, first of all. Because if you don't have a right relationship with yourself, you're never, ever going to have a right relationship with anybody else. Because the Bible says, love yourself. Amen. And some of you don't even love yourself. Glory to God. So the only way growth can take place, that's the only way that growth can take place in our lives, is stepping into uncharted territory sometimes that we know nothing about. But by faith, we step out knowing that God's there. Progressive means ongoing. It means advancing. It means increasing. But and God's not a stalemate God. No way. Now, stalemate is something that's deadlocked. And the only way that you're going to get deadlocked, and some people are deadlocked right where they're at. In other words, they've been in the church for 20 years and they're no more delivered than they was the first time they walked to the door and gave their heart to the Lord. There's people in this church that's been here for years and years and years. Some of them's not part of it. Some of them are. they're rehashing the same things over and over again, and they blame it on the pastors. Let me tell you, it's not your pastor's fault, because you're not going to receive no better word than you do behind this pulpit from Gerald Laverne Relaford. And when they present that word to you, it's your choice what you do with that word. You can leave here and never allow it to change you, or you keep coming back with the same mully grubs. And one thing I found out, that God doesn't operate and move his hand on your behalf because you're having a pity party. God moves by faith. He's a compassionate God and he's a merciful God. But he's not going to say, you poor, pitiful thing, because he's given you the power within you to rise up. And the same oh, Lord, glory to God, I feel the preacher now. And the same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead has also resurrected you. And it's like I said a while ago, it's time to get up, lace your boots up, quit feeling sorry for yourself, quit looking in the rearview mirror, and do what the Word says for you to do. That you are more than a conqueror, and quit feeling sorry for yourself. Now, I could preach that because I've been there and I've done that. Amen? Quit feeling sorry. God only operates on faith. On faith. And you come into agreement with what he has already said in his word. So your pity party is only going to zap you of strength and cause you to be depressed and cause you to be down. Amen? So stalemate means deadlock, and that's why you're deadlocked. Amen. That's why you're not going nowhere. And the only way that we become deadlocked in our lives is if we refuse to move forward. If we refuse to move forward, and if we're continually looking in the rearview mirror at our past, I'm reminded of lost things. Well, I don't lose things. I misplace them sometimes. I don't never lose nothing, y'all. But I sure have misplaced a lot of things. I'll give you an example. I got up yesterday morning, I was going to make coffee. I had dishes in the sink. There was a black skillet, a couple other black things, and the coffee filter was black. So I washed the coffee filter out, went back, poured the water in the coffee pot, turned around, the coffee filter was gone. I looked for that thing for 20 minutes. Kenny got up, and I said, the strangest thing has happened. Somebody came in while I had the back turned and got the coffee filter. I can't find it nowhere. Well, he looked and looked. I looked in the refrigerator, because I put stuff in the refrigerator for that don't belong there. Amen. I put stuff in the cabinet that should be in the refrigerator that don't belong in the cabinet. Now, I know all y'all, none of y'all have ever done that. He looked for it. I looked for it. We looked and looked and looked for that thing. I guess it's that afternoon after we got back from Bowling Green. It was in the sink. It was in the sink amidst all the other black kettles and skillets. And it disguised itself. Amen. So we misplace some things sometimes. When I think about losing something, I think, oh no, I threw it in the garbage. Have you ever had to dig through the garbage for something? Especially if you've been cooking all week and it's like at the end of the week and you need to empty the garbage. You're thinking, oh, maybe it's on the top. Just maybe it's on the top. So you get to looking, and you know what happens? The further you look, the grosser it becomes.
That's pretty good.
How many knows where I'm going with this? Hallelujah. That's exactly the way it is with our past. We think we've lost something back there. Amen. We think we've lost something in the past. So we go back and we start digging. And we start digging. And we start digging. And the more we dig, the stinkier it gets. Amen. Quit going through the garbage. And I've got a note in here somewhere, right on the message. It ain't none of the devil's business what your past has been. Your past is between you and God, and he's already taken care of it. And when you go to him with that self-pity party and said all these things, he don't even know what you're talking about because he's forgot it. So don't try to make God remember something he's already forgot. Amen? Quit looking through the garbage of stuff that's been buried. Leave it where it's at in the garbage can with the lid on it. Amen. And don't be talking about it because it ain't nobody else's business either. Amen. Your past is between you and God, and he's put it in the sea of forgetfulness to remember it no more. He's not bringing it up, so why should you bring it up? And when other people try to bring it up, you just say, what? What are you talking about? Amen. So we misplace some things sometimes, so... So when you ask Jesus to come into your life and you become born again, he threw away your sin into the sea of forgetfulness to be remembered no more. To to be remembered no more. You are saved as sure as I'm standing here. You're saved and you are born again. You may say, but Pastor Charlotte, you just don't know. I tell you every day, I do that same stupid thing over and over again. Well, quit doing it. If you know you're doing something, quit doing it. It's like the man that went to the doctor. Doctor, every time I bend over, my back hurts. What should I do? The doctor said, quit bending over. So if you know and you don't do, so when we come to God and are having a pity party, and I went over that already. I'm getting ahead of myself here. He's already forgotten about it, so why shouldn't you? Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. If you're born again and saved with the blood of Jesus, you are in Christ Jesus. He's got you in his grip. Amen. So therefore is there now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who what? Walk not after the flesh, but walk after what? The Spirit. The Message Bible reads it, because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood, it doesn't read like this. This is a different scripture. I'm sorry. Ephesians chapter 1. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're a free people. You are a free person today. Free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all your misdeeds. And you're not just barely free. You are so free that you can skip through life like you don't have a care in the world and everything at home may be crashing down. Why? Because you've been abundantly free. And you know who your hope is in. Hallelujah. So you're not just barely free. You are abundantly free. And nobody can bring you into bondage again unless you allow yourself to. So let's look. In fact, as born again children of God, we can't fully enjoy the victory that belongs to us in Jesus until we supernaturally forget it. Sometimes it takes the supernatural power of God to cause us to forget our past. We need our memories healed sometimes, especially those of us that had a very colorful past. Amen. It takes the intervention, the supernatural power of God to forget that, to forget those things of who you were. But there's a man in the Bible by the name of Paul. Oh, Paul had a very colorful past. He was one of the most powerful believers at this scene at that time, and he was like, not that way at one time. He faced more challenges, persecution, and hardships than any of us could ever imagine. But he was able to boldly declare, in all these things, we are more than. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now, thanks be to God who always, not just sometimes, not just maybe, but always leads us in triumph in Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Paul had to have something to cause him to end up living such a victorious life after he did what he did. He did some bad things. And I believe that the key to his living that victorious life is found in Philippians 3:13. Starting at verse 13. It says, brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended. He said, in other words, I don't have it all yet. I don't understand all of it yet. But this one thing that I do, this one thing that I do that's causing me to live this victorious life, and that is I forget. Forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth. And to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the high for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Paul was telling the Philippians, there was one thing in life that I know, one thing I've come to apprehend, that I have come to understand, and that is I've got to forget what happened back then. I've got to forget my past. I've got to let that go. And I've got to press on, and I've got to reach for to my purpose and my destiny that God has already said that I have. that there is a purpose for me and a destiny. Jeremiah 29 says, God knows the thoughts he has towards you. His thoughts aren't of evil, but they're of peace to give you that expected end. Hallelujah. So Paul learned somehow, some way, to supernaturally forget his past and press forward into his God-ordained future. God has a future for you. It doesn't matter what your past has been. It doesn't matter. Amen. Paul's past, as I said before, was very colorful. But then, praise God for the buts, but then he met Jesus. Amen. And when you meet Jesus, and you really meet Jesus, your life is changed. Now, you may not get delivered all at one time, but it's a process. But you, when you met Jesus and you accepted him, you got born again. And in the process of time, as you submit to the will of God and submit to his word, that old stuff begins to fall off of you. It's receiving that engrafted word and allowing it to change you. Then Paul met Jesus. And all things changed. His conversion and belief in Jesus, as we know, took place on the Damascus Road. Acts 9 says, Jesus himself provided all the proof Paul would need to become a believer. And if you got knocked off of a donkey and saw a bright light, you would become a believer too. There's people I've been praying for that I think maybe they need that Damascus Road experience. Amen? There's some people that we know that may need that. But Paul's life was forever changed the moment he met Jesus. Jesus has a way of doing something to you that'll change your life if you let him. So before he met Jesus, this is what happened. He had spent years just before he was saved persecuting Christians. He didn't like them. He persecuted them. He caught them in church and ordered them thrown into the dungeons where a lot of them probably eventually died. He supervised the murder of Stephen. Hold the coast of those who hurled stones at him. Paul watched and approved the heavy jagged rocks as they crushed the body of Stephen, one of the most beloved leaders of the early church. Paul was a murderer, a church hater, a Christian hater. He had a past. Amen. He had personally heard Stephen cry out with his last breath, Lord, lay not this sin to the charge. So can you imagine night after night as those memories haunted Paul? Because you could, if they didn't, you couldn't have a conscience. Can you imagine how feverishly after that, how passionately after that, the devil done everything that he could to work in Paul's mind, to remind him of what he had done, to make him feel unworthy, because at that point, Paul was called to preach. He was called to be a minister of the gospel. And so can you imagine the passion the devil went after Paul, hurling thoughts at him at what he had done? So how did Paul forget such a past and move on? And how can we forget the past and move on? 2 Corinthians 10, Paul says, for though we walk not in the flesh, remember what we read earlier, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We do not war after the flesh. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not walk after the flesh. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. You have to talk to your flesh. Amen. You have to allow your spirit man to rise up and say, flesh, you're not going to act like that. You are not going to talk to people like that. You're not going to talk to yourself like that. Amen. You have to talk to yourself. You know, you are a talking creature because you were created by a talking God that looked out at nothing and spoke something into existence. So he said, you need to start speaking and speaking some things into existence in your life. You create the atmosphere around you. You don't have to allow anybody else to. Amen? So even though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, but we go after the Spirit. For the weapons of our warfare are what? Are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. Through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge, having in readiness to revenge all disobedience. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. The battle begins in the mind. And you know what I found out? As long as I can keep talking the word, because you can't talk and think at the same time, because what you're talking, you're probably thinking. So you need to let your talk and your conversation, when you are by yourself, because sometimes we get in the church mode, we get in the spiritual mode, and it's easy to talk, the faith talk around other believers. But what are you saying to yourself on that drive to work? What are you saying at the midnight hour? What are you saying in the early morning when there's nobody else around? What are you rehashing in your mind when nobody else is around? Open your mouth and begin to speak only what God has said about you. Amen. Begin to rehash that in your mind and not your past failures. So how do we forget the things in our past that come back to haunt us from time to time? And they do. They will, and they do. Don't let your past dictate your future. And when you're looking in that rearview mirror all the time and trying to press forward, and all you're seeing is the past, you're allowing that to dictate where you're going. And like the truck that's not taking the turn right, you're going to end up in the ditch. But praise God for ditches, because He can get you out. Amen? So don't let your past dictate where you are going. According to those verses, we can't live in victory by just waiting. You know, just God, just supernaturally deliver me. God, just make everything okay. Just take this past away. Take these haunting memories away. You have to get revengeful against the devil sometimes, and even against your flesh sometimes. And you have to put yourself in order. And you have to become a battle warrior for your own life. Amen. You have to say, you are not going to be rehashing those things. Glory to God. You have to take revenge on your thoughts and allow your thoughts to become what the Word says. So, you know, as I said before, you know, we all talk to ourselves. Now, how many talks to ourselves? Come on, be honest. What are you saying, though? What are you saying to yourself? So, sure, you have memories in your head going round and round about your past and how it's stopping you from being now, from being what you know you can be now. So why not talk to yourself about your future? Where do you want to be a week from now? Where do you want to be 6 months from now? It don't happen unless you get up, lace your boots up, put you some goals and plans in place, and begin to say, I refuse to allow the past to dictate where I'm going. This is what I desire to do, God. And if it lines up biblically, if your goals and your plans lined up biblically for the days ahead, it can be yours. Because God will supernaturally make it happen. God will make it super. I sense in my spirit there's things that people here have put on hold or listened to my voice over the internet. You've put on hold because you have allowed the past to dictate your future, and you have given up and you said, I'm not going to try again. But I tell you, if you'll grab a hold of the anointing that's in this place today and begin to say, God, I know that's what happened then, but I remember the word you gave me 10 years ago. I remember that word you gave me 20 years ago. You know, I may have done this and I may have done that, but it's God said to you, it's a new day, and He wants you to try again. And I believe He's putting people in position, and He's putting people into place. And I even hear that He's putting the finances into place to cause that dream of yours to be a reality. And then when you get there, and whatever it is, whether it's going back to school or whatever it is, then you're going to be able to say, this is what God has done. That's sharing the glory of the Lord in the land of the living. That's sharing the glory of the Lord, that God can take me. You know, I'm basically a shy person. I can sit in the back room and you'll never know that I am. But if God can take me and anoint me to be able to minister to you the word of the Lord, He can take you and make you whatever you desire to be. This is not something that I just woke up one day and I decided to do. Because I am a wallflower. You have to drag me out of the office. Kenny said, Shirley, you're going to have to start liking people. I said, well, I just don't like people. Now, he's the opposite. He's like Ricardo. He invites people to go out to eat that he don't even know. And here we're going out to eat. I don't know about these people. But I'm saying that God can take you and he can develop your personality and make you anointed to whatever he's called you to do, whether it's in the workplace. That is the glory of the Lord in the land. That is how God wants to show his glory through you. Amen. So why not talk to yourself about your future? How good it is, because you know God is for you and not against you. You know his plans for you is not evil, but they're good to give you an expected end. And how much God loves you, and he has a great plan for your life. Hallelujah. So Paul began to take revenge on his memory, on the things that he saw in his head about the stoning the people and throwing the Christians into prison and everything. And he began to say, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. You know, old things are passed away. I've got a new nature now. Hallelujah. I'm a new man in Christ. Glory to God. So when you're born again, your mind stayed the same. And that's where a lot of church folk miss it. Because, you know, I was taught that if you were saved, you quit smoking, you quit cussing, you quit drinking, and you do all these things. And the moment you fall back into that, you kind of come under condemnation. And then you begin to say, well, maybe I never was saved to start with. Maybe I never was saved to start with. And it all starts in your mind. It takes a while for that stuff to fall off of you. Praise God for his instant deliveries. But I'll tell you what, church, this relationship with God is a process, and it's a walking out process. If you can look back over your life and over the last 5, 10, 15, 20 years you've been saved and you're not seeing no change, and you've been coming here to church, it's because you're not applying the word. It's simply because you're not receiving that word and applying it to your life. Amen. So when you're born again, your mind stayed the same. Your spirit man got renewed. Your spirit man got born again. Your spirit man got born again. But your mind is something that you have to do. It's not just going to supernaturally fall on you. But you have to renew your mind with the word of God. Amen. And that's daily getting into the word and allowing that word to change you. Your spirit man is born again. But your mind still has a lot of stinking thinking that don't line up with the word. Amen. So you have to renew your mind with the word of God. So that is how we supernaturally forget the past, is by continually renewing our mind with the word of God. I'm not taking away from instant deliverance and all that. I praise God for it. But even if God instantly delivers you for something, if he delivers you from a spirit of alcoholism, you ain't got no business in no bar. Don't put yourself in a position to where you're tempted with that thing again. Amen. You must begin to believe what the Bible says about your past is true. It's what it is. It's the past. Every negative part of it is gone. Everything the devil did to you and through you has been wiped out forever, like it never happened, because you're a new person in Christ Jesus. Old things, 2 Corinthians tells us, are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. You have been reconciled to God by Jesus Christ. Every old and ungodly thing in your life, including the bad things people did to you, we get so hung up. If somebody looks at us and licks their tongue out at us, amen? We get so hung up on what people do to us. Every ungodly thing, including the bad things other people did to you, sorrow, pains, or whatever, all that has passed away too, because God can heal you of every hurt. Remember the song, Every Hurt, God Can Heal You. Those things don't exist anywhere on this earth except in your mind, as I said. But we are renewing our minds with the word of God. We are renewing our minds with the word of God, and we are moving forward. You remember that song, you know, I said a while ago that our past ain't none of the devil's business. You know, it's between you and God. The past is between you and God. It ain't the devil's business. And you and God can take care of it. And there was a song that I thought about. Me and Jesus got our own thing going. Me and Jesus got our own thing going. Me and Jesus got it all worked out. Me and Jesus got our own thing going. And we don't need anybody to tell us what it's all about. Because you don't know where I've been. You don't know where my shoes have walked. But me and Jesus has got it going on, and we got it all worked out. I know a man who once was a sinner. I know a man that once was a drunk. I know a man who once was a loser. But he went out one day and he made an altar out of a stump. Glory to God. Well, it goes on to say, Jesus done brought me through all my troubles. Brought me through all my trials. Brought me through all my heartaches. And I know that Jesus ain't going to forsake me now. Woo! Glory to God. To win the battle in your mind, you have to fight thoughts with words. By assaulting the thoughts with the Word of God. Some of this stuff I've already said, I got ahead of myself. But we can turn the table on the devil, and we can do this by speaking the Word of God. Paul said, I forget those things which are behind, and I press forward. Paul pressed into his God-ordained future by believing and confessing what he knew the Word said about him. And you can't do it by sitting around feeling sorry for yourself. You have to choose consciously. This is what I'm going to do. It won't just fall into your lap. This is what I am going to do. This is what I am going to do. Just throw every stinking thing from your past over to God. Set your faith on the hand of God. On the hand of God. And you all have probably heard this before, but I found something again and I wanted to read it to you. So we have no excuse. We are a people without excuse because the price has already been paid for our past sins, the things we're doing today, and the things we're going to do tomorrow. It's already under the blood. Accept that as truth. What's your excuse? The next time you feel like God can't use you because you're remembering your past, what about the people in the Bible? Some of them, not just Paul, but many others of them had a colorful past. Noah was drunk. Abraham claimed he was too old. What about Isaac? He was a daydreamer. And Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon, he was afraid. Samson had long hair and he was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy thought they were too young. David, we know the story of David. He was an adulterer and a murderer. Elijah became suicidal at one time as he was running from Jezebel. Jonah ran from God, got swallowed up by a fish, and you don't want that to happen. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. John the Baptist ate bugs. Peter denied Christ after saying that he would never deny him. The disciples fell asleep while they were praying. Martha worried about everything. Mary Magdalene, well, you know what Mary Magdalene was. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Zacchaeus thought he was too small. Paul was too religious. Timothy had an ulcer and Lazarus is dead. And God still used Lazarus. So no matter how dead you think you are, God can still use you. And he's speaking life to you today. Now what is your excuse? You leave this place today without one excuse because you've heard the word of God. You have no excuse to think your past can hinder what you know your future can be. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Willie, I want to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sing the song, I am forgiven, I am redeemed. The past is the past.
The past is the past.
That's where it's going to stay.
That's where it's going to stay.
By the mercy and grace of God.
By the mercy and grace of God.
I've been delivered.
I've been delivered.
And I've been set free.
And I've been set free.
Father God, I thank you for Willie. I thank you, God, today that you're breathing in his life fresh. And that you have caused him to rise up, Lord. And that you're doing a new thing in him and for him, even this day forward. He is forever changed. Things that you're still working out of, things that are still being worked out in you, God, that only God has been speaking to you, Willie, he said that, just to confirm that it's going to be brought to completion, and do not get in a hurry about it. That as long as you continue to trust him, that your steps are ordered by him, that you've been forgiven and you've been cleansed in the blood of Jesus, let the past be the past and let it be gone. And I speak life over you and everything that has been spoken against you that you can't. God says you can because he loves you. And there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You war after the Spirit. You war after the Spirit, and you continue to renew your mind with the Word of God. And I speak wholeness and soundness over you in the name of Jesus. Now, Father God, I thank you for just baptizing him in the Holy Ghost. That out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. And that he is never, ever, 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 ever going to be the same. In Jesus' name. Amen. Church said amen. Amen. Come on, church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You've not been this way before. God is doing a new thing, church. God is doing a new thing today. You've not been this way before. Press in, press forward to what God has for you. You say, I may not know, but God knows. And as you continue to follow him, you'll know. Hallelujah. God is a right on time God. He is a right on time God. Stand to your feet this morning. And I just want to do something. If there's that one thing that you think is just holding you back and it's hard for you to let go of it, I want you just to hold it in your hands right now and just vision that thing just for a few seconds. Just vision that thing for a few seconds. Vision that thing for a few seconds. Now just let it go. Breathe in the fresh breath of God, church. Let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go. Let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father God, thank you for what you're doing in this place right now. Thank you for the movement of your Spirit, Father God. Those that are maybe listening over the internet, I speak breath of life into them in the name of Jesus. That they too have not been this way before. But you're causing a brand new thing to take place in our lives, God. Lord, I thank you that I feel the winds of revival, that we're being shaken again. Hallelujah. Oh, Father God, we thank you for the winds of revival that's rushing through this place, that you're ushering in, Father God. That this is our time, this is our day, Lord, that you're causing reversal. You're redeeming the time for our sakes. And we thank you for that, Father God. Let us be the one that wears the garment. Let us be the one, Father God. Why not you? Why not here? Why not now? In Jesus' name. We receive that today, Father God. We receive that today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We'll leave this place today not the same. That we have no more excuse. And now we have responsibility, Lord, to your word. As you lead and guide us by your Spirit, I speak a blessing over these people's lives, God, this week. I thank you that your favor is surrounding them. Oh, Lord, oh, in the name of Jesus, reversal, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 6 months into this year almost, God. There are some things that you have spoken to us that we've not seen yet. And I believe within the next 3 months, church, there's a transitioning taking place in the next 3 months. You're going to begin to see some things change. You're going to begin to see some things change on your behalf. On your behalf, on your behalf. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father God. I speak life. Well, there's death been spoken. And I speak you to live again. To live again, church. To live again. 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 Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You all have a blessed week. Know that you're blessed coming. You're blessed going. And the favor of the Lord surrounds you. Amen. Oh, do we have any veterans today? I forgot to honor the veterans. Do we have any veterans? Only one? Thank you, Brother Holmes, for serving our country. May God richly and has richly blessed you. Amen.